I'm going to tell you about packing tasks with dependencies. This is the second cluster scheduling talk, so by now the background should be clear. On the left, or on your right, is a cluster of machines. On your left are a bunch of jobs, and the main problem is to match tasks to resources. But of course, tasks require different resources, so you want to make sure that they fit in these machines. And there are hundreds of jobs and thousands of servers, so you really want to do multiple metrics, and you want to do it this very quickly. So this is a large and high-value deployment. That's why you're seeing a lot of these talks. And as I'll show you, today's schedulers are fairly simple, and they leave a lot of performance on the table. The one specific aspect this talk will focus on are what we call heterogeneous DAGs. A lot of frameworks like Spark, Dryad, and Hive have user submit queries, and a query optimizer or a compiler with Flume Java gives you an automatically constructed DAG. Here's an example DAG. Each circle is a stage. The size of the circle is the number of tasks. The color is the average duration. And the colors of the edges denote dependencies between the various tasks. Effectively, what's happening here is multiple data sets are getting joined, and several other computation is happening, and you're writing multiple outputs. Here's a different DAG. A single data set is producing multiple outputs. As you can see, the DAGs are deep, and they can be pretty complex and intricate structures. If you look at the task durations, which is the color of the average color of the stage, they vary from something less than a second to something that's hundreds of seconds. And the tasks also use different amounts of resources. Some of these are ML code, so they use a lot of compute or GPUs maybe. Others have large models, so they're memory heavy. And there's network footprint as well. So let me give you an example on why it is so hard to schedule heterogeneous DAGs. What you're seeing at the bottom is one task. The top is the duration, the one that has T in it. And the bottom is the demand of two different resources. The red tasks here are the only ones which have substantial duration. The others, they are epsilon duration. Epsilon tends to zero. So what's the optimal schedule when you see a graph like this? The optimal schedule is to overlap all the long-running tasks. And if you add up the resource demands, they all sum up to less than one, so they sum up to less than capacity. So this is what the optimal schedule would do. It gets rid of these silly dependencies first, T1, T3, T4, and then it tries to overlap the long-running tasks and make maximal use of resources. Let's look at what a simple scheduler does, critical path scheduling. As a lot of you know, what it does is it looks at the longest task duration to the end of the DAG, and it schedules that first. So in this case, it schedules T0 first. But once you look at the resource demands, T0 is not compatible with either T1 or T3. So T0 runs by itself, wasting 40% of resource 1 and 70% of resource 2. And then you get to run T3 because this is the next longest task chain. And then T4, again, you're wasting a lot of resources. And then you get T5, which is also a waste. So here, critical path is going 3 times worse. If you step back a little bit, why is this happening? It's happening because there are multiple parallel paths, and critical path scheduling just goes one path at a time, mostly speaking, and it can't overlap complementary resource demands across these parallel paths. All right, we've all heard of packers, which are pretty good at overlapping resource demands. If you look at a common packer called Tetris, what packers do are look at large tasks first to increase the number of usable resources. In this case, the packer schedule is also as worse as critical path. The problem with packers is they don't handle dependencies. They only look at the currently runnable tasks, which is T0, T1, and T3. And so you wouldn't know that once you do a suboptimal packing right now, that you'll get a better packing at some future time. They're always instantaneous. In fact, this is not the only example. This happens commonly, the problem. The worst cases are quite bad. For critical path, if you have n tasks, your schedule can be n times worse. And for packers, if you have d resources, you could be d times worse. So what did we learn after looking at this example? Simple heuristics lead to poor schedules. We did an analysis of our production DAGs and compared with lower bounds on DAG completion, and half the DAGs are slower by about half the, are about 2x slower. If you look at this a little bit analytically, even simpler variants of packing dependent tasks is an NP-hard problem. And there's a bunch of analytical work. We are by no means the first people to look at it. But if you look at this analytical work carefully, they make a lot of assumptions. They're either focused on two resources, or they assume a resource is a one pool and it's arbitrarily fungible, whereas resources are actually per machine. And they don't handle the types of dependencies that we are seeing. They're not as online or as scalable. So here's a problem statement. Given an annotated DAG and some resources, compute a good schedule for the DAG. So the main idea that we're trying to do here is that existing schedulers do runnable tasks at a time, and then new tasks become runnable, and then you schedule the others. We do not do that. Offline, we identify what we call troublesome tasks, and we place them first. For example, say you identified this subgroup of tasks, the one shown on red background, as troubled, and you put them first onto a virtual resource time map, and then you place the other tasks around it. This is it. This is the main idea. Now, why would this work? Let's revisit our example. If suppose somebody were to tell you that all the long-running tasks are the troublesome tasks, that's it, then what you would do is you pack the troublesome tasks first, and then you put the parents and before and the children after. So as you can see, the key crux here is if you can get a troublesome tasks set correctly, then you get a good schedule. All right? So we punted the problem. Now, the problem is, how do you choose these troublesome tasks? Again, optimal choice is intractable. It's an NP-hard problem, so we can't work around it. And what we do is we project tasks onto this two-dimensional map of duration and fragmentation score, and we say anything that is longer or has a higher fragmentation score is troublesome. We build a schedule with that troublesome set, and then we repeat this for various choices and pick the most compact schedule. There are a bunch of extensions in the paper, how you evaluate the various choices in parallel, how you memoize it, and how you can recursively do this rather than just do one cut. Let me focus on one specific detail that shows up. Suppose it's what we call scheduling dead ends. Suppose the tasks in the red background are troubled right now, and you place them first, what would happen to these yellow tasks? Since you've already placed some parents and some children of the yellow tasks, there might simply be no space left for the yellow ones. The fix for this is rather simple. You just take the transitive closure of the troublesome tasks. Transitive closure means if two tasks are in the set, then everything along a path between those two tasks is also in the set. Let's look at what we call the parent subset, which is any task that has at least one child in the troublesome task, any one descendant in the troublesome task. Since troubled have already been placed, when you're placing the parents, you have to be very careful. You have to go backwards. That is, you have to place a task all of whose children are already placed first and then go backwards. For the child subset, you have to go forwards, which is the opposite direction. You have to place a task all of whose parents are placed and then move in that order. And this other subset we call siblings, which are unordered with respect to the troubled set, can go in either way depending on what other subsets have been placed. So here's a pop quiz. Which of these orders are legitimate? The ordering is going from left to right, and the suffixes are saying forward or backwards. All of them have troubled first, and then the parents or the children or the siblings. So if you're following, the middle one is incorrect, because the siblings are waiting till the last, and parents and children have already been placed, so you can't place siblings. You can't respect dependencies. In fact, in graphene, we have a proof in the paper that we explore all feasible orders, and we guarantee that dead ends can't happen. So stepping back a little bit, The two things we do for one individual DAGs is we identify a carefully chosen subset of troublesome tasks and place them first. We divide everything else into subsets, and we systematically place them to avoid dead ends. So I told you one DAG, how we compute an offline schedule for one DAG, but the problem is an online problem, and there are hundreds of DAGs running concurrently. So the thing we do is we take this offline schedule and we translate it into a priority ordering over the tasks. If you revisit the example, remember this was the schedule we got. All we carry over to the online step is this priority ordering. To see why this works, suppose there's a second job, and suppose you're trying to be fair between this job and the other job, both of which have the same schedule. This priority order will first let you do both the ones. Nothing else will run because ones are large enough, and you do one, it's a fair share, so you do one after the other. Then you do the threes. Then you can do the fours together because fours do add up to less than one, or no more than one. And then you start doing the big guys. These ties get broken and red gets more share, but then gray backs up. So you're done in 2T. Just to show you I'm not cheating, even in the two-job case, critical path scheduling doesn't get you anything. You're still completing at something that looks like 3T and 4T. So the key idea here is that once you've got yourself an offline schedule, all that seems to be needed to get something, to get gains in practice, is to carry over a priority order. So the second thing we do in the online case is we, while we enforce the scheduling priority, we also use a bunch of heuristics that get us multi-resource packing and mimics shortest remaining processing time. That's from prior work. But we have new tricks that give you a bounded amount of unfairness and some overbooking. The details are in the paper. The key constraint here is that this is a multiple objective game, and any one objective myopically counteracts all the other objectives. Fairness will tell you to give resources to a certain job, but packing efficiency wants to give it to a certain other task in a certain other job, and the two don't coexist. The trick we found is that if you allow for a little bit of fudging on each of these dimensions, there are jointly optimal choices. Like maybe if you're packing, the task that is most packing efficient might not belong to a good job, but among the jobs that are more unfairly treated right now, you would get a reasonable packable task at that time. So in fact, our results effectively show best performance given bounded unfairness is close enough to the best possible. So to summarize, Graphene does two things. Offline, we compute a schedule for each DAG, and online, we enforce the priority order coming from that schedule along with other heuristics. Here's how we implemented it. To those of you who are familiar, this is what the Yarn ecosystem looks like, but this is the same as the Mesos ecosystem. On your left are DAGs, which receive a schedule constructor at compilation time. And online, in the higher scheduler, we get the priority order as well as other heuristics. We also had to do a fair bit of plumbing to get both the heartbeats and stuff going. So evaluation, I'll show you two types of evaluations. We built a prototype and ran it on a 200 server cluster. Jobs arrive online, TPC DS, and a bunch of other workloads. And I'll show you results from simulations. These are production Microsoft cluster traces. They're the DAGs that I showed you on slide 2. We also compare with many more alternatives. So the graph here, on the y-axis, it's a CDF of DAGs. And on the x-axis is reduction in job duration. Note 0 is not the leftmost point, so anything to the left of your to your left of 0 is a regression. And the points marked up there are the time speed up. This is what the result looks like. We put random up there, not because we are just random is what effectively production schedulers today look like. Because they lack sufficient detail, they essentially do it in some topographic ordering of the tasks in the DAG. And so their closest analog to the schemes that we mentioned is random. By simply packing the runnable task, you get some gains. Packing plus dependencies gets you more gains. And the gray, the brownish line there is our new lower bound, and we show that we are fairly close to optimal. The workload here is 20,000 DAGs from Cosmos production clusters. It's a Microsoft production cluster. Here's a result from a prototype. On the x-axis is time. On the y-axis is the number of running tasks. It's a bit busy. There are four lines up there. The job manager is Tez. Packing and dependencies is graphene, and plus packing is Tetris. And these are critical path scheduling and default. So the main result here is probably the point where the graphs end. Makespan, this is the makespan, and makespan substantially improves. And the reason makespan improves is because we're able to run more tasks at most times. And the reason we're able to do that, if you dial down and start looking at resource utilizations, is that we offer a fair amount of overbooking, mostly for the fungible tasks, whereas the packer fits and the default ignores network and disk, so it can do arbitrary amount of overcommitting leading to resource wastage. This is my last slide. Hopefully I've told you that if you have to schedule heterogeneous DAGs well, you both need an online solution that handles multiple resources and dependencies. Our solution comes in three parts. The third part I didn't even talk about. We construct per DAG schedules by placing troublesome tasks first. Online, we enforce the priority order and combine with other heuristics. We have a new lower bound for data parallel DAGs that actually helps us tell you how close we got. We have experiments that show sizable gains, and the paper also has experiments that generalize graphene by applying it on other DAGs, DAGs in distributed build systems and others. I'm happy to take questions.
Carlo Corino from Microsoft. So I like a lot of the work, seems very neat. One question is, how much the wins that you describe us will get diluted in a very large cluster where there's lots of other things that can be run? And in case you have bad estimates of the runtime of tasks? I mean, just an intuition, if you can provide it.
So two parts. The first one was high load clusters. The second one was estimation error. So the high load clusters, you would argue, you could feel at some level that packing is something that you start getting for free, especially if you have a lot of tasks. And that's more or less is what happens. But the prototype cluster that we ran already runs up to 10 to 12 tasks simultaneously. So the amount of load per node that we are seeing and the amount of richness we are seeing per load in the prototype in the experiments is about the same as you could feasibly get. We are running these clusters at nearly peak utilization. So that I'm not that worried about. For your other one, here's what we did. So the graphs on the right, for each task, we give the scheduler a different number in terms of the duration and error profile and demand profile. But in reality, when we executed it, we make it do the exact thing. So what you're seeing here is if the scheduler thinks that the tasks are smaller or shorter, then you end up often getting faster performance. Because especially for critical path, it was not using all the resources, so if it thinks tasks are shorter, it'll get you better gains. And if it thinks tasks are longer, you get worse gains. And this is what graphene looks like. The net change in graphene because of errors are not much more, and in fact better than what you get in critical path. This is what Tetris looks like. I think the main point here is that we are only taking a priority order. We are not trying to enforce anything beyond a priority order. So as long as you get the long-running tasks to overlap with other stuff, you're more or less good.